prepare for a true revolution.
Actually, you can prove God exists.
Questioning tradition, because what you've been taught isn't always true.
The truth will set you free.
That's right. The truth will set you free. We are Truth Revolution. I am Dave, and with me is Pastor Jeff.
What up?
Revolution Church.
Hey.
How's it going, man?
I'm all right. How are you?
I'm doing good.
Today, we're talking about why the Bible doesn't seem powerful.
Okay.
We believe it's powerful, but why doesn't it seem that way sometimes?
I don't know.
Some people read it and it doesn't feel any different to them. It just is just words. Boring.
In the spirit of full disclosure,
okay,
I don't read the Bible as often as I should.
What?
That's true. I mean, you know, sometimes when you get out of the habit of reading the Bible, it seems like it's a chore, but I'm telling you what, every time I pick it up and start reading it, I can't put it down.
Okay.
But there's something, maybe on this earth or maybe in the spirit realm, that just loves to keep you from reading your Bible. I wouldn't know what that is.
Well, and I've read the Bible. I'm in a good discipline. I read it every single day, and I've read it every single day for years. Haven't missed that I can recall. But sometimes I read, and it's just reading.
Right.
And a lot of people I know have had the same problem. They just read it. It's words, and it's like, wow, that was okay. That was something. Doesn't mean a whole lot to me. I'm moving on now. I'm getting on with my day. I did my obligation. But right. Why doesn't the Bible seem powerful? If God is powerful, and these are his words, the Bible should add some oomph to it.
And I think this is actually a very important subject because people need that power in their lives.
Yeah.
You know?
So we're going to talk about that. We're also going to do a listener question and a Bible contradiction today. Mm-hmm. So we got a busy day coming up.
Yep.
Thanks for joining us. Also, we are from Revolution Church. We meet Sunday mornings at
9 and 11:15.
Very good, Dave.
I think about that.
Very good. All right. 9 and 11:15.
How long have we been doing that now? And I still have a problem with 9 and 11:15. I always want to say 9, 15, and 11.
Yeah. Nope. 9 and 11:15.
Late for one service, early for the other.
You're always there on time, though, so that's good. But yeah, you feel free to join us, you know, however you are. We're not here to judge outward appearances. You know, we don't care if you, most people in our churches have tattoos.
Mm-hmm.
They wear jeans, a t-shirt to church. They're just whatever.
Right. And I'm here to tell you, if you have a past, man, this church is very accepting and very forgiving. If you are wanting to find God and truly seek him, there is no better place. Seriously.
I got a past. You got a past?
I got a past.
We all got a past. If you say you don't have a past, you're a stinking liar. All right. So everybody's got a past at our church. So come join us, the church with past.
There you go.
But we also have a future, which is
exactly
why we do church.
Amen.
Because God forgives us. God loves us. He wants us to know him. But without actually pursuing that relationship, nothing will come of it.
Right.
So anyway, today we're talking about the Bible. Part of pursuing that relationship with God is reading the Bible.
Yes.
Getting to know him. You know, I was... When I was in, I think, high school, we went around, we had filled up a bunch of water balloons with vinegar.
Oh, no.
And
this is going to end poorly, isn't it?
It was on Halloween, and we went around throwing them at people out of our van, and we were kind of done for the night, and we were standing in my front yard, and this neighbor kid comes walking by, and I take one of these balloons. I don't know. He was a little ways away, but I just chucked one and it landed smack dab right on him. And it just reeks. I mean, vinegar reeks.
Yes.
And so he got hit by this water balloon. He's embarrassed. But not only that, but now he stinks.
Uh-huh.
He immediately gets angry. He turns around, starts running at me with his fists up.
Okay.
Now, if you heard our show on pacifism a few weeks ago, you have to understand that, that at this point, I was not a pacifist. Okay.
Jeff has not always been a pacifist.
I've grown, but, and so he comes running at me with his fist, and he just telegraphs what he's going to do. So he takes a swing at me. Uh-huh. I duck. I spin around. I grab him by the waist. I flip him upside down and drop him on his head.
What?
And his head twists, and his neck goes pop really loudly. He crumbles to the ground, a limp body.
So is this part of your past? I mean,
is this part of my past?
Are you confessing something here?
Confessing true confessions on radio. And his neck pops. His body falls limp to the ground. One of my friends says, "You killed him!"
Oh, no.
And for a moment there, I was freaking out until...
I imagine.
He jumps back up again and runs home, okay?
Okay.
I mean, it is scary what we can do.
Oh, amen.
We have
to each other.
Yeah, we have the power to take life in our hands.
We do.
If we think that's power, it's nothing compared to what God can do.
Right.
I mean,
well, here's the thing. We can take life, and so can God. But we can't give it.
No, God's infinitely more powerful. Right. I mean, you're right. He invented life. Mm-hmm. He invented time, for that matter. He invented matter, for that matter. colors, stars, and atoms. Everything came into existence because he told it to,
right,
with his words. God said, come into existence. He used his words, and then boom, something happened. He spoke, and the universe just couldn't help but exist because he told it to exist with his words.
Right.
And so we've discovered that the words of God are not weak. They're powerful. So why is it when you read the Bible, the words of God aren't powerful? Why isn't their life just like exploding inside of you when you read them?
No.
You don't know.
Don't know.
I think, well, it's a good day because today we're going to figure out why.
Learn.
And if you have a Bible and you want to read along, turn to Luke chapter 6, verse 43. Okay, Luke 6, 43 to verse 45. It says this. This is Jesus talking.
No good tree bears bad fruit, nor does a bad tree bear good fruit. Each tree is recognized by its own fruit. People do not pick figs from thorn bushes or grapes from briars. A good man brings good things out of the good stored up in his heart, and an evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in his heart.
Mm.
For the mouth speaks what the heart is full of.
Okay, so Jesus says each tree is recognized by its own fruit.
Right.
Help me out here, Dave. An apple tree makes?
Apples.
A peach tree makes?
Apples.
No,
peaches.
Thorn tree makes?
Thorns, I guess.
Yes, one time I was learning as a kid. I was in my friend's backyard full of thorns trees. I looked back to see where my friend was. I turned around and bam, boink, right in my eye.
Ouch.
A thorn.
Oh, yeah.
I hate thorn trees. Anyway, you live and you work and you say things, you do things, and what comes out of your life, that is the fruit.
Right.
And it shows what type of tree you are, what type of person you are. Jesus says that your fruit, what comes out of your life, shows who you really are.
Right. It's an easy way to identify the good and the bad people in your life.
It shows whether or not you or them are actually followers of Jesus.
Right.
You cannot say, I'm an apple tree and produce pears.
Thorns.
Or thorns.
Because it would be okay for an apple tree to produce pears, right?
Then it'd be a purple tree.
Purple tree.
No, look, you can't be an apple tree and produce thorns,
right,
or pears, right? Apple trees produce apples.
Apples, right.
You cannot say I'm a follower of Jesus and produce something other than what Jesus would have you do.
Amen. Say it again.
I don't even remember what I just said, but the point was, you cannot say I'm a follower of Jesus and then produce things in your life that Jesus would not want you to do.
That's exactly what you said.
Well, because I meant it. Verse 45 says, your mouth speaks what the heart is full of. So what you've filled up on, what's in your life is what will come pouring out into your life.
Ah.
Nobody can say, well, I know I live this way, but I'm not really that way.
Right. I don't mean to.
Yeah. No, I know I did that, but that's not who I am. No, look. Okay. There's a kid named Jimmy. Right, he wanted to go out and play and wanted to go hang out. And his parents said, all right, fine. You can go anywhere but north because there's trouble up in the north part of town.
Right.
And he got home, and his parents had put a GPS tracker in his backpack.
Great.
And it showed him going straight north after he left home and sitting there until curfew. When he got home, he said, I know the GPS says I went north, but parents, I really went south.
Hmm.
Are you going to buy that?
Not for a nickel.
No. And neither does Jesus buy the story when we say, I know the fruit of my life says one thing, but I'm really another.
Right.
I know I've done stuff that God doesn't want me to do, but I'm really a Christian anyway. No,
right.
That doesn't work.
Amen.
Period.
And you know, they say action speaks louder than words, but sometimes words are very indicative of who we are.
Yeah, because it shows what our heart is.
Right.
And so here's the question. What does it mean to have good fruit? Is it being a nice person? Here's what's interesting. Now, our Bible breaks us up into multiple pieces, but was really one long piece. Look what Jesus says next. Verse 45 to 46.
A good man brings good things out of the good stored up in his heart, and an evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in his heart. For the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say?
Oh!
Ow!
Why do you call me Lord and do not do what I say? Good tree, bad tree. Good fruit, bad fruit.
Mm-hmm.
This is not about being nice. It's about whether we've done what the words of Jesus have told us to do. You read those words of Jesus in the Bible and you think they aren't powerful. Are you doing what he says? Because the most powerful part of reading the words of God is doing what Jesus says.
Right. I imagine Charles Manson is a nice guy at times, right?
Oh, yeah, I'm sure. But when he reads the words of Jesus, is he doing what Jesus tells him to do? Right. You've read it. It told you something. What did you do with what Jesus told you to do? That's the most powerful part. In our Brethren in Christ denomination, we have this consultation where we talk about how to interpret Scripture properly.
Right.
And the number 10 item on that list, we made a list of 10 important things. The final thing we said, we believe that the proper interpretation of Scripture ultimately leads to a change of heart and a change in behavior and makes God's redemption available to every person and to all creation.
Amen.
You have to have this change of behavior. That's what makes the words of God powerful in your life. When I was in junior high or high school, I got my car was an Acura Integra.
All right.
Loved it. It was awesome. Now, it was front-wheel drive,
mm-hmm.
and I was with my brother.
No donuts for you.
Right, but I was with my brother, and we could peel out.
Right.
Well, we drove around this lake, and there was this huge hill, and I decided to floor it and just drop the clutch.
Right.
Okay, that was, I was just going to drop the clutch. So I revved that engine up. I mean, I don't know. It could have had a 100 horsepower or a 1,000 horsepower, but I cranked this sucker. But nothing's going to happen until I drop the clutch, right?
Right.
Until that happens, the car is going nowhere. So I dropped the clutch and our wheels engaged and it took off, but the car didn't go anywhere. It just sat there and spun. Mm-hmm. Now, we have front wheel drive. It's producing all this smoke and my air conditioner's on and it's like nice. Sucking the smoke in. The car fills up with smoke. There's smoke all around us. We were choking and finally we took off and it took a little while for the smoke to dissipate. But the deal is, your car's going nowhere until you drop the clutch.
Right.
And likewise, the power of the Bible comes to life when you drop the clutch, when you live it and you engage.
Right.
You don't just rev the engine. You actually do something with it. You've dropped the clutch in your life.
Right. And the Bible actually itself says, you know, the faith without works is dead. You know,
yes.
We've got to do something. We can't just sit there and read and be faithful. You're not really being faithful unless you're doing something.
Absolutely. Okay. We're going to come back to this thought. But before we do, we're going to do a Bible contradiction.
Bible contradiction.
All right, Bible contradiction today brought to you by the fine folks over at Freedom From Religion Foundation.
Freedom From Religion.
They want to know.
I want freedom from religion too.
Why?
I want Jesus, not religion.
Well, they say here
I'm with them.
Jesus actually contradicted himself.
I'm not with them.
And in Matthew 5:22, he says, "Whoever shall say, 'Thou fool,' shall be in danger of hellfire." Now that's Jesus talking.
Okay, so don't call someone a fool.
Right. Matthew 23:17, he says, "Ye fools and blind." He's calling people fools. That's Jesus talking.
Oh, snap.
So are we saying that Jesus is actually in danger,
danger of hell? Well, hey, it's right there in
black and white. What's up?
Okay, we have our cracked acronym for solving Bible contradictions and interpreting the Bible, and it starts with C, and the very first C is?
Context.
And the second C is credit.
Credibility.
Yeah, credibility.
Okay.
So we have to use both of these. First of all, let's give Jesus a little credit.
Mm-hmm.
He's not so stupid that he's going to say, if you do this, you're in danger of going to hell. And then he's just going to jump in and do the exact same thing he was telling us that you're in danger of going to hell for. Okay.
Right.
There is a marked difference between Jesus and us if we are reading the Bible and we believe in Jesus. He is God.
All right.
And I am not. See, like a little
thank goodness for that.
Yeah, amen. Right, I'm not God. So Jesus may be calling these people fools, but he's not in danger of hell, even if he calls someone a fool. I mean, that's pretty simple. He's warning humans how to act. Look at the context. Matthew 5:21. He said, "You heard it was said long ago, you shall not murder. And anyone who murders will be subject to judgment. But I tell you, anyone who's angry with his brother or sister will be subject to judgment." So you see, he's talking about
intent.
And he's saying, and you're going to be judged if you hate these people.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? That's where he's going with this. And he says, anyone says fools in danger of the fire hell. Who is the judge? Jesus is the judge. He is the judge. And he's telling you, this is how I'm going to judge. And I'm going to judge you based on whether you hate people or love people. Jesus loves people, and he calls them a fool because they're being foolish, not because he hates them.
Right.
And so you read it in context, and you see this is not a Bible contradiction. Give Jesus a little credit and listen to what he's actually saying.
There you go.
All right, that's the answer for the Bible contradiction. We'll be right back on the other side of this break, continuing our talk about why the Bible doesn't seem powerful. Hey, this is Pastor Jeff from Revolution Church.
And I'm Dave. We've been growing and now we're going to two services.
Sunday morning at 9 a.m. or 11:15 a.m. Check us out at salinarevolution.com.
What if someone had never been to church before?
Well, most people here hadn't been for a long, long time, if ever, so don't worry, you'll fit in fine.
What to wear? Just be yourself. Jeans, t-shirt, tats, whatever.
Revolution Church, Sunday morning, 9 or 11:15 a.m.
salinarevolution.com or check us out on Facebook.
Revolution! Hi, this is Pastor Jeff from Revolution Church. Not only am I the host of the Truth Revolution radio program, but I'm also a foster parent. Did you know that there are only 20 or 30 children in Salina that need to be adopted right now? Did you know that there are children in foster care who want to live in Salina, but are sometimes placed in other towns because we don't have enough foster homes here? I want to challenge you to consider foster care today. If you're interested in doing foster care, go to kfapa.com, that's K-F-A-P-A, as in the Kansas Foster and Adoptive Parent Association.com, K-F-A-P-A.com, and get more information. You can request information, email and ask any questions you want, or possibly even sign up to take a class about foster parenting. It's easier and more difficult than you'd ever imagine, but it's also more rewarding than you'd ever imagine. Consider fostering and helping a child in need today.
Truth Shots from TruthRevolution.tv and Revolution Church. Here's your host, Dave, and Pastor Jeff.
One of the ways we read scriptures with a Christocentric hermeneutic. What does that mean?
Basically put, we see Jesus as the pinnacle, the climax, the mountaintop of all scripture. And we read and interpret scripture that way.
The Old Testament isn't merely a collection of writings explaining how things used to be.
Not at all. It's like a highway driving towards that moment in history when Christ appears. When we understand salvation history in terms of everything pointing towards Christ, the Old Testament is much more relevant.
And the New Testament epistles aren't merely theology books.
Thank you. They do contain deep theology, but it's a reflection on what Jesus had done and how that works out.
This fits together with our knit together part of the cracked acronym.
Right. Reading scripture with Jesus as the apex of revelation allows us to make sense of how he's seen in scriptures from Genesis to Revelation. Jesus isn't just the most powerful prophet. He's God in flesh, whom all scripture points to.
TruthRevolution.tv.
Did you know that Truth Revolution is supported by Revolution Church and listeners like you?
It takes quite a bit of time and money to produce a quality radio show.
If you find Truth Revolution helpful, a donation would be a powerful way to make sure the message keeps going out.
This ministry is doing more than Dave and I imagined it would at the beginning.
You got that right.
And as we grow, we want to keep the goal the same, to be the place where faith and reason meet.
Donations are accepted at www.truthrevolution.tv or Revolution Church.
Truth Revolution.
And we're back.
Luke 6:46. Jesus says, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say?"
Ugh, I would not want him to say that to me.
Hey, that's a good question though, you know?
It is.
We're talking about why doesn't the Bible always seem powerful? If it's the words of God and God is powerful, why when I read the Bible, do the words of God just seem blah? Well, and the answer is because we call Jesus Lord, but we're not doing what he says.
Right.
If I'm living everything out, when I read Jesus and he says something like, "Hey, I know you shouldn't murder, but also don't be angry." Holy smokes, that's powerful, because now I've got like this epic thing I've got to change my life for.
Right. It's like, okay, I think I can not murder somebody.
Yeah.
Oh, wait a minute. I'm not supposed to hate somebody?
Whoa.
Wow.
Whoa.
That's a life changer.
That's powerful.
It is.
I've got to change my life. And, you know, being good fruit, finding power in God's word, it's about reading something in the Bible and dropping the clutch.
Amen.
It's like reading the Bible is revving the engine, but you got to drop the clutch. You got to live it out.
Yes. Do an action.
That's right. James chapter 2, verses 14 to 17. This is the classic verse on this about how we actually live out our faith. This is like probably the most clear-cut example of where behavior is called out as the Christian way to live. You change your behavior, not just your beliefs.
"What good is it, my brothers and sisters, if someone claims to have faith but has no deeds? Can such faith save them? Suppose a brother or a sister is without clothes and daily food. If one of you says to them, go in peace, be warm and well fed, but does nothing about their physical needs, what good is it? In the same way, faith by itself is not if it is not accompanied by actions, is dead.
Dead!
Dead.
D. Seeing someone starving and freezing and letting them starve and freeze is useless, right?
Right.
That's pointless. And the original question, why does the Bible seem to lack power? Because you're having a fridge full of food, but you're not eating.
That's not good.
That's stupid. Likewise, faith without dropping the clutch, faith without action is dead. Doesn't matter how much food you have. If you don't eat it, you're going to die. Doesn't matter how much faith you have. If you're not living it out, you're going to die.
Right. You got to engage.
That's right. Read the words of God, right? Go, go, go. Do it. Read it and then do it. Why does the Bible seem to lack power sometimes? Because you haven't lived it out, man. I've got an image here. And what is this an image of here?
It is a diagram, looks like an electronic diagram.
Wires and stuff all over.
Yeah.
All right, this is from Texas Instruments. This looks weak. It's stupid. It's kind of a boring diagram.
It is boring.
Extremely boring.
You can actually put it away now. I mean, I'm done looking at it.
But this is an image. Boring. This is an image of a defibrillator.
Okay.
Imagine that there is a man with three kids. And one of his children falls on the ground, starts to die. The child is there. His body is going cold. The man is screaming and crying for help. People all around are saying, we don't know what to do. When someone notices a defibrillator on the wall, they grab it. They pull it over. They pull out the paddles and boom, they shock this child back to life. The father's crying. The child starts crying. They're hugging each other, holding each other. This child was going to die, but his life was saved by this instrument. Now, you cannot tell me that a defibrillator is boring.
Oh, amen.
You can look at the diagram, and the diagram seems boring until you put it into practice. Then it is life-saving.
Right. Us not acting out on what we read in the Bible would be just like if the father had a diagram of the defibrillator and put it on the child and was like, hey, why isn't this working?
Right. Words on paper don't do any good until they're put into use.
Right.
Until someone builds the defibrillator, until you follow the words of Jesus. Luke 6:47, Jesus says, as for everyone who comes to me and hears my words and puts them into practice, I'll show you what they're like. And what are they like? He continues, they're like a man building a house who dug down deep and laid his foundation on a rock. When the flood came, the torrent struck that house but could not shake it because it was well built. But the one who hears my words and does not put them into practice is like a man who built his house on the ground without a foundation. The moment the torrent struck that house, it collapsed and its destruction was complete. Jesus says that living out what he says is like having a house built on a solid foundation, and not living it out is like waiting for my home to collapse.
Right. And anybody that lives in Kansas knows, even if we have a little stiff wind here in Kansas, you just put something on the ground, it's going to blow away.
Absolutely.
You know? But you dig deep and you put it actually on a foundation of rock, it's going to stay. And that's what they're saying here.
But digging takes work.
It does.
It takes work.
Is that work that I'm willing to do? Well, if I don't want my house to blow away, yes.
It's important work. Mm-hmm. When you drop the clutch, the engine's got to work. Applying all these words that Jesus gives us takes work. But you are doing the work. You will not say that the word of God is weak or right. boring if you're doing the work. My wife and I, we know it takes work. We read this verse a while back and that I'm going to share with you here. And we decided to drop the clutch. Mm-hmm. We decided, you know, it's time. We're going to do something about this. James 1:27 says, religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this, to look after orphans and widows in their distress. Now, taking care of orphans is a lot of work. If we're living out Jesus' words, it's digging a deep foundation. Now, I'll just say right at the outset, not all kids put into foster care actually need it.
Right.
But some do. And one night, my wife and I received a call from the police station. And there were three kids who needed a home. They were badly abused and neglected. We picked them up. The smell and stench was awful. I can't even explain it. I had to roll the window down in our minivan on the way home. There were bugs crawling out of their bags. But when these children first saw us, they started jumping up and down. and they shouted, "Are you going to be our foster mom and dad?" And they were so happy to get out of the situation that they were in. They had been abused and neglected, and their dad had hit them with 2x4s. Oh, it was an awful situation. One night I was sitting in the basement working on homework with the boy. He was young. He was in first or second grade, and he said, "I'm scared." I said, "Well, what are you scared about? We're just working on homework." He said, "I'm scared of my dad. He said that if we ever got away from him, he would find us and kill us."
Yikes.
"And he has a friend who can find people." Now, granted, I'm a pacifist, but I looked at that boy and I said, "You know what? I've got a gun upstairs. And if he comes here, we aren't going to kill him, but we're going to scare him real bad."
Right, there you
go. And the boy's eyes got wide and said, "Really?" And you could tell he was calm. He was for the first time, he was starting to feel safe. And he actually said, I'm safe."
Right.
The Bible says, take care of orphans, take care of the children who need it. You cannot tell me those words don't have power. If we are putting into gear and going, if we are living this out, then these are more than just words. It's power.
Right. And you know, the simple thing is children are helpless, and without somebody to love them, it just, they go meandering off in a direction that leads to really bad stuff.
Right.
You know?
Well, and here's the deal. It's not just about orphan care. Mm-hmm. It's not just about that story. The whole point is, you could read James 1:27, religion that God our Father considers pure and faultless is this: look after orphans and widows in their distress. You could read that, and that's really boring.
Right.
Until you actually do something about it.
Amen.
All right, we're gonna come right back to this. We got a listener question.
I got a question.
All right, listener question come in this says, why the Trinity? Why not the Quadrinity or Quintinity or Sextinity? If wisdom was before creation, would she be the fourth member of the Quadrinity?
The fourth member of the Quadrinity.
What? Okay. I'll let Jeff take this one.
Okay.
So like I ever take any of them.
Why do we believe in a Trinity? Because we believe God the Father is God.
Mm-hmm.
We believe Jesus is God. And we believe the Holy Spirit is God. We don't believe anything else is God.
Right.
So that's Trinity right there. That's three in one. That's a Trinity.
Right. Wisdom is not God. Wisdom is actually...
Wisdom is not God. This is a question probably related off the truth shots that we've done recently about wisdom. The Bible, you know, in our cracked acronym, the D stands for dialect. You have to understand how the Bible is using its language, okay? The Bible's not a science book. It's literature. And when the Bible refers to wisdom as a she and says that she was there before the creation of the world, it's personifying wisdom.
Mm-hmm.
It's not saying that wisdom was in existence before, wisdom as a person was a member of the Trinity or Quadrinity. It's saying that wisdom is personified so that she can speak to you in the book of Proverbs. That's all it is. It's, now, personification is the attributing human characteristics to an animal or an inanimate object or something like that. Especially in this case, wisdom. Okay, right. Wisdom's not a real person, but in the Bible, it's referred to as a person to help explain things. So that's why we do that. So anyway, that's the answer for our listener question today.
I got a question.
All right, so back to our the Bible part. We only got another maybe 30 seconds, maybe a minute here. The Bible says, take care of orphans. You can't tell me those words don't have power, because if you're putting them into practice, that's a powerful phrase. Take care of orphans? Holy smokes! And the deal is, you got to drop the clutch. Right now, I got to make a quick caveat here.
Okay.
Our works do not save us. Okay, like doing these good deeds, doing what the Bible says, that's not what gets us into heaven. We get into heaven because Jesus made it possible for us to go into heaven. Right. He became righteousness and gave that to us. We're not perfect. We can't go to heaven. Jesus is the only one who has the right to go to heaven.
Amen.
But he has credited us. He put money on our accounts so that we could go into heaven. And so believing in him is how we get to heaven. But if we say we believe in Jesus, we've got to follow that up with living this out.
Yeah, that's another thing where it says actions speak louder than words. And in this case, that's really true.
That's right. So here's the practical application. I want you guys, whoever's listening to this, I want you to write down one practical application from scripture you read this week. When you read something, write it down. What are you going to do about it?
Live it out, man.
So I take note cards right now, and I write down a verse reference and the advice I get from that, and I try to live it out. That's what I'm doing right now when I read my Bible. It's really been powerful. So, All right. Thanks for listening to Truth Revolution. Come back next week. Go to our website.
TruthRevolution.tv.
That's TruthRevolution.tv. And you can listen to Truth Shots, this show, past shows, future shows.
You can even donate.
So get on over there, TruthRevolution.tv. And come on out to Revolution Church. We would love to have you, however you are.
Amen.
Take care. And God bless. Now, go live it out.